Welcome to Mudcast, official podcast of Appalachian Civilization site.
Bauta Schneiders,
Ken Ferlin, Tony Keel,
Oscar Belsi.
Welcome to Mudcast, a Polycast production. This is Pilot Episode 3. Today, joining us is Oscar Velzi.
Hello.
And Kenneth.
Kenneth, that's me, Ferlin.
Kenneth Ferlin, and me, Tony Keel.
And who are we missing today? Router, of course. Modcast, now also with 100% less router.
Yeah, he must be partying right now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Water's out having a drink, you know, hitting the beer bong.
Yes. But let's not let the audience think that this is in any way his fault. It's all due to... Tony, this is the part where you jump in and admit that you totally missed the cast last night.
Oh, yeah, that's where I'll jump in. It's my birthday and I can do what I want. It's my birthday and I'll miss Polycast if I want to.
Yes, but we're Modcast.
Yeah, that's true. We are new and improved with extra 100% less water.
Here's what's been making the news in the Civ community.
In the news today, Firaxis has a Civ modding contest. Anyone heard about this?
Cool. Can I participate?
No, you cannot.
Yeah. Yes, this is the main thing that everyone is up in arms about, from what I understand.
Uh-huh.
It's a U.S.-only competition?
Well, actually, the three of us on this show right now, none of us can participate. I will say Oscar can't participate because he's from Argentina. And you cannot participate, Ken, because you work at Firaxis. And I cannot participate because I am one of the four prohibited states of America that is not allowed to participate, Arizona.
Ooh, there were prohibited states? I didn't know that. Wow.
They have really lazy lawyers. So I was actually about to start burning a disc to mail to them when I read the fine print, and I was like, what? So come on, Firaxis. You know, I say this to you, Firaxis, because we love you, but most of the modding community I don't even think is in America, to be honest.
Yeah.
50-50, I would suspect.
Yeah, if not swayed a little bit more towards the international. I mean, I do agree that America has the largest clump of any one country, but Europe is huge with modders. Like, I really do think most of my modding friends online are not American.
Oh, well.
I'd still think it's closer to 50-50, but, you know, yeah, we both see the point that obviously it's huge, and you're just arbitrarily kind of cutting off half the community there.
Yeah, because they don't want to send the computers to another country, most probably.
Well, yeah, there's all kinds of weird rules, I guess, but I don't know.
Well, there may be some legitimate legal issues to it, but it just kind of seems like if you can't do the thing for the whole world, maybe you just shouldn't do it at all, I'm thinking, or maybe there just shouldn't be prizes, because I think it's probably the prize is that cause the issue.
You know, another thing is, if you look at the actual, like, what is being tested for, it says best in-game assets, and that includes units, buildings, or wonders. Best world builder scenario, which is just a map file save. Best map script. And best educational mod. So basically, the only actual full mod scenario thing you could release would be educational, and you have to be a teacher.
Yes.
And everything else is just a little bit of a mod or a script or, you know, just...
And you don't need a building, yes.
I couldn't release the Second Revolution mod because it's not just one art file or something. It has every aspect of that list, you know?
Yeah, this is probably, I would just suspect, so that the competition is easier to judge. I mean, to play a whole mod and to do it at least with any kind of depth, it takes a lot more time than just judge an asset.
Yeah.
And seriously, though, I mean, how many educational mods are out there? I can think I can not think of any off the top of my head, and I suspect...
I can think of them for Civ 3. Civ 3 has one out.
Oh, Civ 3? Oh. But, yeah, who how many teachers and schools have actually made their own educational Civilization 4 mods?
Well,
like, if there are any, I'd be surprised at all.
Well, you know, the prize for best educational mod is 30 copies of Civ 4.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh,
which I think...
whole class can be like Civ 4.
I would love to go to school or like, we're going to play this? I'm sure that a teacher could figure out how to make Civ suck, though.
Yeah.
You know what I would do just to make it all educational? I would just go in and redo all the Civilopedia entries by whipping off, like, a good 500 lines of text from Wikipedia. Just copy, paste into Wikipedia, make those all of the Civilopedia entries, and then just, like, read the Civilopedia. And that's your education.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ferland, but that's plagiarism, and you get an F.
That's what I did for all of them. Whenever I did some of my Wonder of the World mods bits, I would just like, I need a Civilopedia entry. Wikipedia.
Yeah, I've done that.
It's like, copy the whole damn thing into the Wikipedia, into the Civilopedia entries. I mean, like, you realize how small, like, the little scroll bar gets, you know, it's like, normally you get on the Civilopedia entry, and, like, the scroll bar is, like, one-third of the whole length, and you scroll the thing up, and it's, like, two or three times the screen length. So I did that on like, Leonardo da Vinci's workshop, and, like, the little scroll button is, like, this is like
that's
pixels,
too much.
And you, like, scroll it and scroll it and scroll it and scroll it, and it's, like, 10 pages of text within that thing.
That's too much.
Because I took the entire Wikipedia article on Leonardo da Vinci and put it in there.
Okay. Artist Sketchpad, where we discuss graphics and artwork from the Civ modding community.
Today, in the Artist Sketchpad, we talked about the Cuba mod, the Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri mod condenser, and Iroquois Horse and Footman.
Yes, let's just start with the Cuba mod.
All right, the Cuba mod.
The Cuba Civilization.
Who did this one?
Cuba!
Bernie 14.
Yeah, you know, he's up and coming with Leaderhead Creation. He's kind of new, but he's picked up all the nuances.
He's done a lot of units. That's what he did mostly before. He was a big unit producer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's made a really lot of nice Native American.
Oh, those are him. Yeah, units. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, I've only talked to him mainly in the Leaderhead community, though. But as you see here, he's got Jose Marti.
Wait a minute. There's a separate Leaderhead community separate from all other artwork?
It is a secret, and now you must die.
The Civ 4 community, the Civ 4 artwork community is so large, it's fragmented into Leaderheads and units. Separate
pretty much. Pretty much. Well, let's see. He's got here Jose Marti, and I don't really know who the heck that is. And then It's also got, of course, our favorite, Fidel Castro.
Yes.
And I think I'm going to yoink that Leaderhead someday.
Yes, very good.
Because I really, really like his leader.
He was.
He's...
Jose Marti was the leader of the Cuban independence movement. He was also a poet and a writer.
I thought that
no,
was Castro.
No, but in the other sense.
Oh, he was like the intellectual leader of it, and
the very first independence.
Earlier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they've gone through a few independences.
You're going to hear the like civic change.
Well, no, they only went independent once. The second one was a revolution. There's a difference. All your civics.
Your civics are now changing.
So says Fidel Castro.
Yeah.
No, he's Cuban, not Russian.
Oh, come on. That's just my general dictator voice. I really wouldn't want to impersonate Castro in English, because he's got a very high-pitched, silly-sounding English voice, so...
Yeah.
He sounds much better in Espanol.
I can do it better.
Yes, I'm sure you can. I'd say that Martin is Gandhi-based, and he's like the only Gandhi-based leaderhead I've ever seen that was pulled off with any semblance of success.
Oh, yeah, he does look good. And actually, it's not just Gandhi. The new techniques are two leaderheads together. That's half Gandhi and half Roosevelt, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I remember Dragon Ball when you said that.
The Gandhi-Roosevelt fusion.
Uh-huh.
He can win World War II with nonviolence. Take that, Nazis.
Does Castro, he kind of looks sort of like De Gaulle, but it looks like the body is De Gaulle, but is the head De Gaulle? I can't tell. I don't know what he did with Castro.
I don't know. It also makes him. He looks like Roosevelt also.
But with a.
Certain. Peter Castro.
But he's definitely got.
Well, for me, the beard and the hat really do it for me. The way those look. Those are really nicely
done. Yeah, it did turn out good. He has unique units for it too. Unique units look like
One unique unit and the other are flavor units.
Ah, okay. What is the unique unit? The Mambise.
The Mambise.
That's the cavalry thing he got there?
Yeah.
Because it looked to me like its stats looked exactly the same as normal cavalry.
Perhaps withdraw from combat is higher. Oh, no. No, 30% chance.
I'm not sure. I see that it...
Yeah.
It's cheaper, perhaps?
Yeah, that could be it. It looks like the unit itself is mainly a reskin. And I look at some of the other ones. He's got flavor units. We got some re-equips. The unique building, a little silly. I'm not...
Yeah. Club Tropicana.
Well, I have issues with the unique building.
Club Tropicana with a... It looks like a disco or something.
Yeah, when you zoom in, you hear salsa inside.
Yeah. We're back to the salsa dancing again.
It's a replacement for the Colosseum, which is totally off time period-wise. And its effect doesn't seem to really do anything other than what a normal Colosseum does, except for the pathetic addition of a -5%. A measly 5%, mind you, war weariness
one
reduction.
A happy face? I don't even know.
You have to have 20 unhappiness before that does anything for you.
Ooh, yeah. He's a great artist, but modding rules.
No. Total fail.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. You'll see Castro's aggressive, charismatic. I can see that. Okay. But Marti, I don't know who he is, but philosophical, organized. If he was a writer, maybe that would work.
Yes, he was a poet.
Well, shouldn't he be creative, philosophical then? I don't know.
Yeah, perhaps creative and philosophical would have been better.
And check out people taking issue with Castro's preferred civic, police state. They felt it should have been state property.
Ooh. Yeah, I agree with that.
It's degenerating into a flame war.
That's fanatics for you. Oops, sorry, Thunderfall. Yep. He won't ever hear this. But, let's see, what else?
We love Sith fanatics.
What else do we got here?
Not as much as a Polyton.
We have Smack Condenser. Now, Smack, of course, means Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri. And
among other things.
Yes, well, this is still going to be PG-13 for now.
It's like I walk around and like I'm telling people, oh, Smack was one of my favorite, and they're like, what? Are you on? You know, and they're like, they don't.
I love Smack!
Yeah, I was like talking to one of the testers, and that really happened.
Yeah, that is hilarious.
I'm not making that story up.
That is hilarious. He's like, I can get you some. Send me the CD over? Okay, thank you. Smack is kind of the silly name.
Ironically, they actually did give me a copy of Smack. It's still in the plastic wrap.
Collector's edition.
Well, there was no collector's edition of Smack.
I know. Smack, the most underrated game ever.
Underrated? It got a 98% from PC Gamer.
Yeah, but I don't see people talking about Smack as much as they do Civ, unfortunately. And that game...
Wow. It's Civ is Civ.
I think Smack was better than Civ 3, to be honest. But that's...
Totally.
I didn't play Civ 3, but I generally believe that's the consensus amongst the community.
There were many things that were much better in Smack.
Yeah. I think they should have built Civ 3 on Smack Engine. It would have been a lot better.
Mm. Yeah. I loved when you launched that kind of atomic bomb. I don't remember the name.
Planet Busters.
The Planet Busters. The first time I launched it, it was amazing. Amazing. He threw it and left a huge hole in the ground.
Yes, it leaves a 3x3. Well, actually, no. If you use the initial, if you use level 1, they leave like a 1x1 hole in the ground. And you use level 2, it's a 3x3.
Oh, it's a mess.
And it's like they get progressively larger. You can actually just wipe out all the land area on planet.
There was a huge mushroom cloud. And after it dissipated,
just nothing.
There was nothing.
Yes, nothing.
Only. There was land and now there was water.
Well, on the more peaceful side, looks like right here, if you can see the screenshot, he shows a tiny cutout piece of a condenser, which is one of the land improvements built by workers in SMAC.
Yeah.
You can see the original and then how he did the new one, and it just looks astonishing.
Perfect.
With a concept art and everything.
Yeah, he's got the concept art. He said that anyone could use it. Maybe you can make it a parking garage, but I don't see any reason. This just looks awesome.
It does look a little bit like a parking garage, now that you mention it.
Like a really awesome parking garage.
Futuristic. Well,
yeah.
Well, there is a road going inside the condenser.
Yeah.
If you look closely.
That's underneath, I think. It's just, for some reason, he's got a road under it. I don't know why.
Good question. Maybe for scale, I don't know.
Now, someone needs to go in there and program an actual effect in the surrounding terrain when you build the condenser. It actually causes the surrounding terrain to turn from desert to plains, or from plains to grassland, or something like
that. We can only hope. Well, the SMAC guys are working hard. I submit art, but that's about all I can do to help them.
Mm. I would be helping them, too, if I did not have other obligations.
I wonder what are you doing now.
Secret.
Yeah, we're all kind of wondering.
You know, you can tell. You can tell.
Yeah. It's just a lawsuit. It's nothing, man. Iroquois, horse and footmen. Also by Bernie. He's in twice. Let's look at those guys. Wow. They look better than Total War Kingdoms. The newest medieval Total War had a Native American battle expansion for it. These look better than that.
Yeah, the face paints are...
Yeah, they look pretty cool.
Really nice.
Yeah, he did better than a game that was released just separately, and he's really good.
Now, has he historically researched the face paints and the costumes and all of these things?
That's a good question.
Because I would not be surprised if he had.
I love the horsemen. The eyes are amazing. They're pretty freaky.
Yeah. I love how there's feathers attached to all these kinds of things. He must have actually went in there and took the time to model that. I don't know if he used Nifu or Blender, but he did good. He did a really good job. I know I had given him some early help on his Native American units or someone's by releasing a few reanimated Native Americans, but he just took the banner and completed that, you know?
Oh, yeah, I like the guy with the war club myself.
Yeah.
Look at it, it's got all these spikes coming out.
The detail in the tunic is amazing. I wonder the size of the texture, but...
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because, see the tunic, you can see the small streams in there of clothes.
Oh, yeah. Civ, if you look at the texture size that come vanilla with Civ, and then as opposed to what detail you can do, there's a big difference, you know?
Yeah, but that's what you gotta be able to do more with less. That's the secret. So I've seen a lot of guys make really crazy buildings that look like really wonderful, but they have like a gajillion polygons. And
oh, yeah.
It's like, it's being able to do
huge textures.
Yeah. Being able to do more with less is really the mark of a truly great artist.
Code Corner, where we discuss SDK and Python mods.
And today in the Code Corner, we have Bombing Missions by Dale. Now, those of you who played The Road to War, which will recognize this as a pulling out of that feature from that mod, Dale just released it here a few days ago. Excellent for us. And it's compatible with Beyond Sword 3.13. He has three different types of bombing mission. Air bomb defenses, blah, blah, looks like typical missions. Either bombs the improvement or city defenses. Lowering the defense percentage. And then you have the air bomb buildings, allows you to destroy a building in a city. Air bomb production, attempts to destroy production buildings in the city.
Like factories.
Mm.
And you can bomb boats in harbor now. You can finally hurt ships in harbor.
It's the whole Pearl Harbor mission. Mm, slick.
Yeah, that, yeah, exactly.
And you can even sink the boats completely. Mm. So there's a roll that you do like damage for a percentage, and then there's a roll and there's a chance percentage it'll sink completely.
I really think they should have included this code in Beyond the Sword Epic. I really do.
Mm. It would certainly have changed the dynamics of air power in the later game.
Yeah, well, air power, I think later game is a lot of weakness in the late game, and what they did with the experience with airplanes was good, but this would have taken it to the next level.
Mm.
Airplane enthusiasts would have had a little bit more teeth to their planes, you know?
Mm.
Yes. Also, ships would need some love.
Yeah, well, it would make them, you need to put the darn anti-aircraft guns in your port cities now. You know, have a fighter screen to defend those boats for once. You know?
The demise of the battleship.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the way the code is right now for Civ 4, you couldn't even have a Pearl Harbor because you can't hurt the boats. But, yeah, this is an awesome mod. He even includes little Civilopedia pop-up references so you get information on how all this works. I believe there's not new graphics, but there's three new buttons that go to every airplane now.
Yeah, I would have liked to see actually a slightly different button so you can identify which button is which type of mission.
He should have asked me.
A little picture of a house blowing up is one type of mission, and a ship blowing up is another mission. And
a building in one, and a ship in another.
He should have asked me to help him with that.
Totally.
And another mission, to just kill the people in the city.
Ooh, nastiness. That'd be pretty powerful.
The button of that would be a person covered with napalm.
Oh!
You know? That's enough evil for me for tonight, okay.
Perhaps we need a mod now that improves the ships.
Yeah.
Because right now the only, bombard defenses. The defenses are more muddied. Sit tight.
But I've always said ships will never be really fun in Civ games until they have the ability to attack and actually capture coastal cities by themselves without units on.
Wow, that's gonna throw balance out the window.
Yeah,
I mean, if it just comes to like blockading stuff, it's not gonna be enough.
One thing I would like is not to need transports for units. If a unit goes into the water, it becomes a transport, for example, or something like that.
Yeah, that would be a lot better than what they have now.
Oh, yeah.
If they do that and they're undefended, they should have no attacks at all whatsoever, you know?
Of course. They should be a sitting duck.
Unarmed.
That would be the trade-off for having free transports.
Yeah, you would need protection, but, for example, if you can... The enemy doesn't have boats, well, you can do it fast and evade. It would add a lot of dynamic.
In the cartography room, we talk about maps and simple scenarios.
Today in the cartography room, we talk about a couple maps in the Civ modding. We got one called Tilted Earth. Oh. This one's pretty straightforward, but for those of you who would really like to have a nuclear war between Russia and America, it might be fun. And if you see the map, it's
freaky looking.
Yeah, it's actually Earth laid sideways.
It's completely strange. It's
amazing.
Weird. Shouldn't there be like ice in Antarctica?
Well, it looks like he put the ice on the northern...
Europe.
Yeah, Europe. He put ice... So in a north-south orienting, although I think you could easily...
No, it's Africa there.
Yeah, Africa is icy.
This
icy Africa.
Map is confusing me a lot.
Yeah, this is a confusing map.
Totally.
But I think you could easily go back and make Antarctica the icy part if you wanted.
Yeah, because the map normally puts ice up at the top of the map, mm-hmm. but if he's doing the sideways thing, he should have edited it and put... ice over Antarctica rather than desert.
I think BTS allows you to put ice on the side now, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, it's a custom-made map.
Yeah, true that.
He has to just remove all the ice manually that the game generates and then put it where he wants.
Yeah.
But it's a nice map. Nice.
It's cute.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is an interesting concept.
Another map we have to look at is, of course, someone starts singing the Lord of the Rings theme song because it's the Middle-Earth map, and Frodo needs to bring... the One Ring and toss it in someone's...
A photo of Liv!
Toss it down, you know, Sauron's garbage disposal.
That's Sauron.
Sauron.
I took a peek at this map, and I opened it to see the mini-map a little more detail, but it seems that his rivers are navigable with boats. They are one water square wide, so can actually send...
Yeah, you can send boats through all of Middle-earth. But I think he went a little overboard with the navigation, with the big rivers.
Yeah, and that kind of takes away the river mechanic, too.
Yeah, I would have done perhaps the most important river and make it with the ocean tides, and the rest are the rivers, because they, you can actually, for example, go from Eriador to the western area, because you can traverse that river on land.
Yeah.
It makes the map full of islands.
Oh, and plus you can't cross the rivers without a boat, now that I think of it, because of that mechanic.
Yep. I think they used an interesting system in the China map thing that was part of, I think, was it Warlords?
Warlords.
Where they made the rivers these little strings of one tile of water, but when there was a city on the river, they actually put that on land. So you could actually keep going down the river by passing through the city if you controlled the city, but you could still pass on land. And it was kind of an interesting...
Well, now, of course, the fortress in Beyond the Sword is now a river accessible, so you can use the forts now as a bridge. Another thing I'd like to point out on this map, if you get into the zoomed-in screen, it seems that he went and put landmark tags all over the map.
Yeah.
And so when you get to Mordor, it says Mordor, Mount Doom. When you get to Gondor, it says Gondor, and it shows even where the cities would be. So thorough. Thorough, not so sure how useful it would be for a mod, but definitely thorough.
Yeah, it's very detailed.
Are there any resources on the map? I mean, shouldn't there be like...
It looks like it. It looks like it.
Resources to encourage you to actually...
This one's in the zoomed out view, so yeah, they're very tiny.
Yeah, I can see oil, for example, here in the south. It seems like oil.
Yeah.
Okay, I would like build right here where the elves are and then chop down their forests.
Oh, that's mean.
It's like, oh, look, that's Lorien. I can chop down Lorien to build like the Great Pyramids, you know.
Oh, man.
And Mirkwood, oh, yeah, that's going to be a lot of hammers there when I chop that down.
Oh, man, you are an anti-tree hugger.
There look to be like vast, empty regions on this map, though, because if you look at the little map in The Lord of the Rings, there's always this, you know, Tolkien just like didn't want to have anything happen over on the west, so he just wrote like wastelands, you know, off like a good quarter of the map.
You know that I have a map of the full Middle-earth?
Oh, yeah.
Not only the...
You mean, what, there's any more? I thought Middle-earth just stopped at the edge of the page there, though.
No, it goes on. There's a... You have to read, like, lots of books.
It's pretty huge.
Yeah.
Modding Spotlight, where we discuss and examine a particular mod out of the Civ 4 community.
Today in the Modder Spotlight, we're going to review and talk about Beyond the Sword mod, Road to War. This mod was included with the Beyond the Sword expansion, and it was made by Dale, myself, and our friend Hexagonian. So, have you guys played it?
Yeah.
Not a slightest.
Get out of here. You know you played it.
No, I never played it.
Oh.
And you're in Modcast.
Yeah, you're breaking the rules there, Ken.
I never play any mods except my own, of course.
That just shows how narcissistic you are, you bastard.
And I don't actually even play mine, I just play test them. It's like, okay, test, oh, it crashed. Code, test, crash. It's the cycle of life.
Somehow it finds a way to take all the fun out of playing games. So, Beyond the Sword mod, an ambitious, to say the least, World War II mod for Civ 4. I believe it is the first official spanning World War II mod for Civ 4. Because didn't Dale do an African mod with the vanilla release of Civ?
Yeah, there was one.
Oh, I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Very small it was.
It was small. It was just North Africa. And it wasn't that Dale, too?
I don't remember.
I thought it might have been Dale, but we'll find out someday. Someone will yell at us. Yeah, that one was good, but it was tiny and had weak scope. Beyond the Sword Road to War, it includes Europe as one map and the Pacific Theater as the other map. And the Europe map has all of Europe and North Africa all the way to basically the Caucasus Mountains. And on the east of the Atlantic Ocean, I put a kind of deformed U.S. East Coast to give the Americans some industrial clout. But the map is huge. The map is just...
The scope of the mod is very big. Not only in the map, but also in the...
It's ginormous.
Also in the units. In the units, too.
I was telling Dale while we were making it, like, Dale, I'll make you a new map. It'll be small. I'll make a smaller map. He's like, nope, we're keeping the map. He liked it.
So tell us more about how the interactions work between you, Dale, and Hex.
Oh, well, that was all done via a secret developer's website. And we got together there, and I just basically got an email from Dale saying he had helped me with my second Revolution mod, and then he asked me if I would do some work for him with doing mainly textures and leaders and the stuff that he didn't feel he was so good at doing.
The artsy-fartsy stuff.
And then after signing a non-disclosure agreement, I was in.
That also got you into the beta as well?
You know, I had the very early builds of Beyond the Sword, and I could have beta tested for fun, I guess, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to play the game. I mean, I know a lot of the people helping over with Firaxis were beta testers, in fact, at the secret forum, and I was mainly busy submitting new textures and ideas for the mod and leader heads and stuff like that.
Well, I'm confused, though. I mean, when you say you signed this NDA with Dale, you were already in the beta before that, and you signed a second one to be helping him there, or what?
I started with BTS when at, like, build one or two. Like, it was very early on. Like, I literally worked on it for nearly a year. I didn't do the betas, no. And I got in there early in the development. I started working on unit textures and re-equips and reanimations of units, trying to get a good base of units for the World War II. Me and Dale both liberally dipped into the Civ Fanatics modding community to find, in his case, tank models, and for me it was actual gun models for infantry. And I can say that we had a lot of help from modelers such as Ozio, and others like him. And I believe Snafu Smith did a few.
Yeah, I could definitely see Snafu's obsession with tanks and planes being of use in the mod. And Ozio has released a couple of packages of, like, guns and bottles and handheld items for you to, like, stick into a model. Kind of like those little bits of plastic they give you with, like, a Barbie doll. It's like cell phone and all these other little accessories.
I love accessories. I definitely love. Any time a modder releases a unit accessory pack, I get happy. I love those. In fact, that bottle I had requested from Ozio because I wanted to make a guy who chucked Molotovs.
I think I've seen a screenshot of that in your mod. The bottle chucking protester type.
And he's all, hey, I'm Matt, I'm gonna chuck this Molotov. Yeah, that mod was a lot of fun. I think there was a few times where it was like really crunch time. Like, there would be like imaginary like deadlines. I call them imaginary because, you know, when we reached them, nothing was said or done or nothing happened. But they were there. And I remember, like, 2-week period, I had to do 15 leader heads. I did a lot of them really advanced, but, like, some of them, I would slap a mustache on someone and change his shirt. Yeah. I'm like, that guy's done. He's King Henry of Austro-Hungary. No one even knows his country name, and he gets killed in the beginning. So, yeah, I sped through some of them. But other ones,
Yeah. And he just so happens to be Roosevelt's twin brother.
He has a very nice pointy mustache. Yeah, I got a little criticism from that, but I think that's because they didn't realize how much time it really takes to get high-quality leader heads done.
Yeah.
You realize you're the one getting criticism for having done the mod. I mean, it's like, okay, mod maker, guy who played my mod. It's like, come on,
people. Yeah. If you can do better, email it to Dale.
Yeah. The fact that you're even there to criticize my mod is actually a compliment to me. So
actually, yeah, I should have looked at it that way, but I didn't say anything to the guy because I was seeing red because I had worked my butt off.
Your fingers to the bone.
But, you know, I think one of the real strong points of Road to War was definitely the scope and, as you said, Oscar, the units, how there was multiple units for each civ, and I think that he used the unique unit system to do that, and it came out really, really strong with that.
The main drawback I find with that is that the learning curve is very high, because you start and you see all those units and the icons are like envelopes or something like that, and you have to learn everything in the first turn, what the amount of units, what they do, etc.
As you mentioned, the unit icons were Dale's idea to use NATO icons. And he had originally had a graphic of it, like the NATO icon laid on top of a Europe map. But it was really tiny, and that those icons are so small, you couldn't even make them out. So he asked me to redo them, and that's where those gray kind of plain ones came out. I did those to just get them so they're more visible. But those are actually NATO unit icons. So
yeah, icons are very hard to do. I see a lot of kind of, frankly, lame icons out there for a lot of units, and having a good icon that really is visible and represents something well is like, it's easy and it's got to be immediate that you recognize it. Very important.
Yeah, another thing hard to do are cursors. Mouse cursors are to do.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys actually modified the look of the mouse?
I don't know if we did or not. I don't know. Maybe we did. I know Hexagonian did pretty much all of the graphics that I couldn't do. And he had actually done a whole crapload of movies for the mod. And
I heard about these, and didn't they get cut at the last minute or something?
They got cut by localization because, unfortunately, he didn't do audio text. He did subtitles in the movie, and localization said you have to make six different movies to each have the right subtitles. So they got cut. But Dale has developed a add-on patch that has everything, including swastikas, which are not allowed.
Yeah,
my favorite German leader.
And
swastikas.
Yeah, and the movies are in it, and a lot of my artwork got cut, and he added that artwork back in. So it's definitely worth checking out the add-on pack. It doesn't change much to the core game. It just removes all that political correctness and adds a lot of graphics that got cut because they were just pruning the hell out of us at the end of it. They were just snip, 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 snip.
Yeah, because like you guys got allocated some, like, you get this amount of disk space or something. You get X number of megabytes.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, actually, we need to take some of your megabytes away or something. Or maybe you guys had gone like crazily over the whole thing. Were you over your megabyte limit?
All I can say is I think they had thought that BTS would be one CD affair, but it turned into two CDs, so.
Yeah, but there was lots of good stuff on that. You know, it's worth making it two CDs.
Kale's mod was nice, too. And there's a couple other mods I haven't played, but there's Afterworld. It was so much fun to be a part of it, and, you know, I hope one day that'll be on my resume for when I want to get into the big league like you can.
But it's true that localization stuff is they're always hitting you with that. Oh, we can't do that because it would take too much localization effort. Or make this different so that it can be made easier to localize. And it's smart though because international sales are huge. You cannot ignore them nowadays. I mean, the sales outside the U.S. and in non-English speaking countries are counted on to make the sales budgets, to make the sales quotas. And, you know, localization costs money.
I totally agree, and it was a real thorn in our side, and we got actually pretty depressed when they started cutting our stuff. And I just remember cheering up Dale, we're going to do it. We started it. We're doing it, you know? Don't get mad, Dale.
Yeah.
We'll do the director's cut version afterward. It's like when the studio comes in and slashes your movie down to like half its original length, and it's like, ooh, director's cut.
Yeah, Dale instantly decided to do the add-on patch as soon as they cut us.
And what happened to the global map?
Mm-hmm.
The global map, Dale has been working on that. I don't think he's released it yet, has he?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. He is right now, last I heard from him, is right now he's only working on AOD, Age of Discovery, and he's got, I really can't talk about all the things, but he's got at least two major issues in his real life. So he's just busy with his family and his career, yeah. And he's taking a break. He's been sieving for like years straight.
Yeah, this Age of Discovery thing is kind of his vehicle for trying to pitch around to break into the industry formally, from what I understand. You know, it's a long-term project. Mm. I hadn't heard anything about his family situation, though.
Yeah, you know, he's taking care of them, though, and he's got things with his career going on, and he says he's going to start working on that when that stuff settles down. But yeah, I was hoping that the global map would come out. In fact, I think he even petitioned the coders at Firaxis to make a Civilization II Test of Time sort of interface with dual-layer maps.
Oh,
he wanted... We begged them, but they're like,
Yeah, the multi-level map has been like one of these holy grails of modding.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. It's the holy grail of modding. Was to get two multiple levels, and I've seen so many people like, oh, I want to do multi-level maps, you know, multiple independent maps within the same game kind of system. And no one has managed to do it yet.
Yeah, no one's even come close. Yeah, I was glad to work on it. It was one of my happiest things I ever done. I got my name in the instruction manual. It was awesome. Yours is in there too, Ken, isn't it?
Yep.
Probably Oscar too.
And in the credits, I appear three times. Yay.
Whoa!
Three times. Lucky bastard.
Wow.
I only got in there once.
With that, we need to do our goodbyes.
Yes, but you'll edit it down.
I'm going to edit it down, but I don't like cutting out whole segments. I don't like doing it. I don't like cutting out whole topics. So
yes, edit out this very useless banter we're talking right now.
Yes, of course. Well, a lot of stuff we talked about today, and a lot of fun was had.
That's true.
I especially like some of the art mods that came out today.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Yep, it was a good day for art.
Great time.
It was. And this, hopefully, is the last pilot episode. So if you're listening to this, we either were consumed in a ball of flame or are now superstars.
Yeah.
Yes, and we got desperate and we actually released this pilot. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll need a week off or something. Release the pilot. Release the pilot.
And the flying monkeys, too, while we're at it.
All right.
But you wonder which will terrorize people more.
Well, today you've been joined by Ken Ferland.
That's me.
And Oscar Velzy.
That's me. Yeah.
That's him.
And also me, Tony Keel. And today we have 100% less Wouter. So we miss you, Wouter. We hope you're not mad.
What?
In fact, at this, it's probably already next year for Wouter.
Yeah, it's already next year. It must be around...
Yeah, this is New Year's Eve.
Around 1 in the morning.
How is it out there in the future, Wouter?
I am drunk. Goodbye. Hope to see you in episode 1.
Goodbye and see you next year.
Yeah.
Next year.
Next year. In the future.
Call in today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY. You can Skype us at The Polycast or email us at polycast@apolitan.net.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, our sibling show Polycast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at polycast.apolitan.net. Record date,
December 31st, 2007.
Sound clips copyright Civilization IV and the Warlords and Beyond the Sword expansion packs. Copyright 2008, Apolitan Civilization site at apolitan.net.